Today I'd like to focus on the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. It's chapter 5, verses 27 to 33. The apostles had been arrested, and then they were miraculously let out of prison, then arrested again, and brought before the Sanhedrin, which was the governing body of the 70 elders of Israel. And the high priest questioned them. And he says, "We gave you strict orders to stop teaching in that name." They wouldn't even call him Jesus. They wouldn't even say the name Jesus or, of course, the Christ. They just referred to them as preaching the name. And of course, the name of Christ is so sacred and so holy. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So they would not even pronounce the name of Jesus. They just said, "We give you orders to stop teaching in that name." And yet they say, "You have filled Jerusalem with the teaching." That's how active the apostles were. They were going all over Jerusalem preaching about Christ, that Jesus was the Christ. He was the long-awaited Messiah. Even though he was killed on the cross, he rose from the dead. And the apostles have filled all of Jerusalem with that teaching. And then the Sanhedrin said, "And you want to bring this man's blood upon us." Remember when the people were about to crucify Christ, they said, Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" They said, "We have no king but Caesar. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." See, that was prophetic. They were saying it, that they were referring to it, meaning, well, yeah, we'll take his guilt. We'll be responsible for his death. But they didn't realize what they were saying, or even what the Sanhedrin is saying today, is that we need his blood to save us. We need his blood to wash over us. Scripture says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." So it's by the shedding of Christ's blood that we are washed clean and we're baptized. The waters of baptism wash over us, and the grace of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, the blood that Jesus shed for us, is really what washes us clean. When we go to confession, yes, the priest absolves us of our sins, but it's the blood of Christ that is truly washing us of our sins. When we receive the Eucharist, we see the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ is what we truly receive. So again, it's the blood of Christ that really washes us in baptism, washes us in confession, nourishes us in the Holy Eucharist. So when the Sanhedrin said, "You want to bring this man's blood upon us," really they were speaking prophetically. Yes, we all want the blood of Christ over us. The precious blood of Jesus is what saves us from our sins. We cannot be saved unless the precious blood of Christ washes over us. So then Peter and the apostles say in reply, "We must obey God rather than men." And that should be our motto as well. When it comes to choosing, let's say, civil authority versus God's law is always supreme. We, of course, honor and respect our country and obey our country, unless it would tell us to do something contrary to God's law. But, for example, slavery was legal in our country. Does that mean it was moral? Of course not. Abortion is legal in our country. Does that mean it's right? Of course not. When it comes between obeying God's law and civil law, if the civil law is contrary to God's law, then we have to obey God's law. Respect for life, you know, getting rid of slavery, thanks be to God, that was done. Now, the conversion of our country and getting rid of the legalization of abortion, that's the next battle. So we must obey God rather than men. Now, of course, if a civil law corresponds to God's law, we obey civil laws, of course. We're good citizens. But first, we are citizens of God and citizens of the kingdom of God. So the apostles say we must obey God rather than men. And then this passage concludes by the apostles reaffirming that the God of our ancestors raised Jesus. So he was raised up in resurrection, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. That's another expression for the crucifixion. You know, crucifixions began in Persia and in the East, and then it was adopted by the Romans as the most excruciating way to torture and kill a person on the cross. And so when it says he was killed by hanging him on the tree, it's referring to the crucifixion. And yet God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. It says, when they heard this, they became infuriated and wanted them all put to death. So the apostles were fearless. They'd received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They were fearless in their preaching. I mean, to be able to speak to the Sanhedrin, to speak before all the courts and say, we will obey God rather than men, and that we want his blood to wash over us, and that it was God himself who raised his son Jesus from the dead. Even though we had killed him, Jesus is now risen from the dead. He is our leader. He is our savior. And he's come to give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel.